Blog Talk Radio.
Leading Edge Parenting is another fine show brought to you through Law of Attraction Radio Network. Are you ready to find your true parenting power? Join us as we expand our understanding of creating outrageous joy and experience life with our most precious assets, our children, all through the Leading Edge Parenting Show with Sandy Swartz.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the Leading Edge Parenting Show. I was in Florida last week, and so we skipped a week because I was celebrating my birthday, and I can't tell you how good it feels to be back with you today. It almost feels like family, and I don't have the faces of everybody who listens, but I can feel you. I can feel you energetically, and it always feels good when the show kicks off each week. And I want to tell you what I've been thinking about this week, and that is it's the beginning of June as we record this show today, and it brings back for me memories of many, many years when I was a teacher. And June is a busy, crazy, wonderful time in school because the year is winding down and it's a time to reflect on all that's been wonderful and challenging in the past year. And everybody is in a giggly state once we're finished with finals and tests and the panic of all that. But everybody is so excitedly anticipating the arrival of summer because summer always brings with it this feeling of freedom and joyfulness and kicking back and just having fun. Teachers feel like that. The kids feel like that. Not quite sure how the parents always felt. When I had my own kids, I didn't always look forward to summer with that anticipation because it meant now that children were around and we had to keep them busy and we had to keep them happy and had to deal with whatever the children were dealing with. And so even with a joyful time, comes internal stress and comes challenges. Everything in life brings challenges. And when I think about children moving through the end of a school year and making the adjustment into the summer world, the world of friendships and the world of baseball and sports and athletics and camp and swimming and all the fun things that it brings, I'm also reminded that as a human being, whether we're little ones or adolescents or even grown-ups, things happen and there is its own stress. And so today we have a guest who I'm so excited to bring to you because Charlotte Resnick, Dr. Charlotte Resnick, is a person who understands that there's a hole in a world for all of us, and she particularly focuses in her book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, on what's going on inside your child's inner world and how to soothe that and how to bring things forward so children can move into their greatness with happiness and joyfulness. And we were talking about the Olympics a few months ago and how those athletes prepare themselves to move into challenges that are exciting and wonderful. They've been working and looking forward to their whole life. And so even though something is joyful and exciting, it still brings with it some stress, some fear, some worry, some challenges. And what do those Olympic athletes do to prepare themselves? So we're going to have a great day today as Dr. Charlotte Resnick brings to us some of these secrets, some of these techniques, some of these strategies, and how you, the parents, the grandparents, the teachers, can bring some of these techniques to the children who live in your world. And so it's my pleasure today to tell you that Dr. Resnick has dedicated her life to helping children and adolescents, parents and professionals. She's a nationally recognized child and educational psychologist. She's also an assistant clinical professor of psychology at UCLA in Los Angeles. And she is greatly sought after as a consultant, as a counselor, and as a healer. And if you're lucky enough to live near the Los Angeles area, she has a private practice there. And I'm going to let Charlotte tell you a little bit more about her work later and how you can get in touch with her and how you can find out more about this fabulous book, which I may reference today, The Power of Your Child's Imagination. But without further ado, it's just my joy to welcome Dr. Charlotte Resnick to the show today. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Sandy. I'm so glad to be speaking with you, and what a beautiful, heartfelt introduction about kids and what they're going through and our concerns and our hopes for them. And I love June, too. I'm really, because I work with kids all the time, summer comes and Memorial Day comes and everybody's ready for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the Olympic athletes, but I think it's a great segue because so many of our kids are going to camp of one sort or are going to be playing on the streets or in the fields. And why not help them use their creative imagination to do the best in sports? Because a lot of kids, even though they might love it, they might not be so good at it, or they might feel a little left out. So we might as well teach them how to do the best they can and really have a great time.
Well, I think that's it. You know, there's a lot of competition for children, and I remember when my kids were growing up, and my husband was the coach of my son's baseball team. I used to sit there sometimes and roll my eyes at what would go on in something that's supposed to be fun, and there's pressure and stress. And so, Charlotte, help everybody who's listening. I'm gonna kind of turn this over to you. Can you just begin with what it is that you know that's going on inside of these children, and what do you offer as suggestions for ways for the adults and children's lives to be there to support them and help them to have fun, to feel good about themselves, and to feel successful no matter what their skill and talent is.
Right. And the first thing, I kind of look at it in two parts. One, dealing first with any fears or doubts, and then getting ready for success for the kids. So first of all, what I do is teach kids to connect with their feelings and connect with the wisdom inside, just with their imagination, calming down, using their breath to go in. One boy said the breath is the way in. And so some kids are a little anxious, a little nervous, either about trying a new sport or getting on a team or going to camp and playing a lot of sports. So we don't want to like say, oh, you'll be fine, just brush it off. We want to deal with that fear. And so what I'll have the kids do is take a few deep breaths and kind of close his eyes if, you know, he's in that frame of mind, and just picture any fear that's in his body about the sport and just see where it is. Like, is it in his belly and what color it is and what shape, and does it have a face? Sometimes kids have these creative characters that come out. Fear sometimes is in the belly and it might be black or purple or scary. And then, okay, so that's where your fear is. Now let's summon that confidence. Where's your confidence, or where are your brave feelings? And, you know, kind of check out where they are. Maybe confidence is all over. Maybe it's in his chest. Maybe bravery is in his hands or his feet if he's kicking a soccer ball this summer. So we want to see where those scary feelings are, the positive, and where the negative. And when I'm dealing with kind of fear or worry, kind of a negative feeling, I like to find, I like a 2-to-1 ratio, kind of like 2 positive to 1 negative, because I want to maximize the potential that the positive can have. And at some point, I'm not sure which is going to be better. And then we'll find out by trying it. So I might have him, okay, confidence is blue in his shoulders. Okay, what happens if you breathe in that confidence? What happens to fear? What happens if you breathe in bravery? One boy said kind of confidence shrank his fear and bravery mm-hmm. burst it open.
Wow. Say that again. That's beautiful.
One boy said that confidence shrank his fear and bravery burst it open.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just amazing what can happen. And you might even rank kind of like where fear is on that 0 to 10 scale. 0 is no fear. 10 is the most you could have. And you could do it before this little imagery, imagination exercise, and after, and see the difference. One girl who was afraid of speaking to her coach, her fear was black, and it was lurking inside her belly, and her confidence was green, and it was in her heart. And so when she breathed in that green confidence, filled up her whole body with it, She then had the confidence to speak up to her coach and ask him not to yell so much during training. She was afraid he would yell at her.
So it sounds, what I hear you saying, Charlotte, for the parents who are listening, that this is not an intellectual exercise inside anybody's head. Because I'm thinking you can use this for grown-ups as well as children, and unless the parent understands what's going on or has ever experienced themselves, they might not get the power of this. But this is not what we do to kids, which is usually we try to talk them into feeling brave,
right.
More brave. This is an energetic kind of a thing that the kids are actually experiencing. The bravery is kind of overtaking the fear or moving it out of them. Is that... It almost feels like they're actually walking through, feeling, moving through that fear into what bravery and confidence feels like.
Exactly. And that's what's so beautiful. Even when I work with the kids, I'm not telling them. I'm wanting to pull out their resources. So we already know, I might already know a child is scared or worried. So we want to face it. And in fact, I might have a little dialogue, a little conversation between, say, his worries or his fears and his confidence and his bravery. And, you know, fear could say, gosh, I'm really afraid I'm going to miss that ball when I hit it, or won't make that bat, you know.
And I'll look stupid and everybody will make fun of me and I'll feel ridiculous, like when my brother teases me. I mean, I could just see kids saying that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
And as you're mentioning some things, you see that we're talking about sports right now, but you see how these kind of imagination tools will work in many areas.
Yes, because any of us, again, I keep going back to all
yes,
of us.
Yes, definitely for
children,
adults. Tools are
right?
For grown-ups.
That any experience we've ever had, whether it's on a field of sports or whether we've tried to stand up and give a talk or anything where maybe it didn't go so well or somebody made fun of us or just inside ourselves we were a harsh critic. So now we're anticipating that the same kind of thing may happen, and so the fear is very powerful. But what I hear you saying is bravery is also powerful, and you're trying to kind of conjure that back up for them.
Yes, and have them see that they can make those brave feelings larger, and they have the power to do that. So fear isn't going to take over their life. Or their confidence is great. And so when fear says, you know, all those things, if you can't do this and people are going to make fun of you, confidence could say, hey, wait a second. You did really well at the last game. You've been practicing with your dad every week. You have a coach. You're going to do fine. So it's that inner dialogue, that self-talk that we use through their imagination that builds them up. And if their mom or dad or even coach said these positive things, they might not take it in. But when it's coming from inside them, they really get it.
So what I hear you saying, I love it, is that there's a whole different approach, because when I was a teacher, even when I was a parent and my kids were growing up, it always seemed like it was my responsibility to figure out a way to prove to them that they could do things. And
right.
And that's not really the way it works. It's when it comes from inside yourself, that's when it's really powerful.
Exactly. And you could practice, you know, whatever the concern is at the moment, like imagine when the ball is pitched to you or when the coach yells at you or when you're doing tryouts. What does confidence say? What's fear, you know, lurking in the background saying? And have that conversation together to build up that confidence. And also, you know, I created this, I think you know this, because I was working in the inner city and I couldn't use regular techniques and I really had to be creative and use my own imagination. So I had to pull from my own and then pull from the kids and have them create what would work for them. We'll even call an animal guide, because animals are, one, they're wonderful, they're loving, they're protective. Most kids love animals or have animals or wish they had animals. And the animal friend serves as a guide and a wise being to help them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe he calls in a cheetah to help him run faster or be very accurate or precise in his movements. So you just kind of, same thing, you close your eyes, you go to a calm place, and invite an animal that's going to help him. And so it could be one boy had a rainbow lizard, another girl had a dog chicken. It could be anything. And you could call in the animal friend to help you before the sport or even during the sport. Okay, Panther, we're going to be running this track. Help me run faster. And it gives the kids confidence.
It's almost, it's as you're talking, Charlotte, it almost sounds like they're creating a movie in their mind. You know, I think that's one reason why we love going to the movies, and they have these wild adventures and become part of it. It's almost as if the child is creating their own adventure in their mind, and they're the one riding the wave with the cheetah, with the panther, and they're actually feeling what it would feel like. And whoa,
exactly.
And then what you're saying to the people listening is this actually makes a difference.
It actually makes
not
a difference.
Not just pretend, play nonsense stuff.
Not just it's pretend. There's a mind-body connection. Think about it, Sandy, very simply. Think of a lemon, cutting the lemon in quarters and biting into it. What happens when you just think about that? You start to pucker.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth
mm-hmm.
starts to water. So there is this connection between what you think and what's really happening physiologically in your body, and there's a lot of studies on this. And with the Olympic athletes, there's incredible many books. I mean, starting The Inner Game of Tennis is an old favorite, and just in every sport, there's so much research showing the power of the mind and the imagination. And maybe, you know, depending on who you speak to, they call it different things. Might call it mental rehearsal or mental imagery. And what these athletes have been doing is practicing. One girl at the recent Olympics in Vancouver said, who won a medal, said, "I have been imagining winning a medal since I'm 5 years old."
Mm-hmm.
And it's not magic. Okay, she imagines it and it happens. What happens, she sees herself winning that medal, and it drives her to do all the things she needs to do to win that medal, to practice, to put her heart and soul into it. So that's what's going on. And Michael Phelps, who at the last Summer Olympics, who won that impossible 8 gold medals, he said when everyone thought it couldn't be done, all it took was a little imagination. So we're all these athletes, every sports team, Olympic team, college team has a coach or a sports psychologist teaching them imagery skills, imagination skills. And when you mention it's like the kids are creating their own motion picture, that's true, because you can imagine yourself doing well at your sport, whether it's ice skating or hockey. Say you're ice skating, you just create a motion picture where you're making your turns and swirling and going backwards and doing everything perfectly. And it turns out it doesn't even matter whether you're watching yourself or you're in the picture itself. Both ways work, and you could utilize both. And the athletes are going to bed imagining these things and getting very accurate. There's a very nice, simple study with that was done a while ago with basketball, and I'll use this for the kids that, even for other areas I'm working on them, but if they're into sports, I'll start with that area. And there were three groups. One group practiced from the foul line every day for 3 weeks, you know, shot the ball, the basketball in, for 20 minutes. Every day, 21 days. One group didn't do anything, didn't practice, nothing. And the other group just visualized. So they didn't physically practice, they practiced in their mind's eye. And they actually imagined themselves hitting the rim, getting the ball in, being accurate. And guess what happened after 3 weeks?
Don't tell me the group that did the imagination without the practice did better.
They did as well as
wow.
the group that practiced, 23-24%
wow.
improvement. And the group that didn't do anything, zero improvement.
Okay, so let me ask you something, Charlotte. My husband is an avid golfer, goes out every day, plays golf every day. This is what I say to myself, and I'm thinking that maybe there are children who say these things to themselves too, because I did this when I was a kid. You know what? I'm never going to be good at golf. I'm not an athlete. Would I like to get out there? Yeah. But I don't go out there because I think I can't do it. Are you telling me that if I just began by visualizing myself out there with a club in my hand, swinging it, having fun, watching the ball lift off and move forward, you saying that even if I never got out there and practiced, but I did that, say, for 3 weeks in my head, and then got out there.
That would be a good start. That would be a very good start.
That would be a good start.
Yes.
But I have to stop thinking I can't do it, I can't do it, this is ridiculous?
Yes,
Yeah, I do. I have to change my thinking too, right?
Yeah, you have to switch that channel. Take that remote, switch that channel, delete that computer screen. When you're working with kids, use whatever they're interested in.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Untext that
right.
message.
Throw that thought in the trash bucket.
Right, right.
And start
exactly.
again.
Mm-hmm. And it's very
I think it's important that parents know this to them, because as parents, a lot of us have images of our children, and we almost classify them. This is my athlete. This is my musician. This
right.
is my creative one. I think we need to erase that, and know that our children are capable of anything.
Of many different things. I mean, yes, we are talented. Some of us are more talented in some areas. But what happens is, and we see this all the time, you notice your daughter, your son is talented or interested in an area, and you push them in that area, so the other areas don't get developed, and all the time is spent in the basketball or the ballet. And so, of course, they're going to get better. So the more you spend your time and your energy in an area, the better you'll get. And if you like it, of course, that helps too. And I have to point out that even though I'm into imagination and visualization, imagination is not just picturing, because kids experience life differently. So some might be more kinesthetic. They might think about how the basketball feels in their hand, how leathery it is, you know, what sounds are in the auditorium that they're playing in, what taste is in their mouth. So it doesn't just have to be a picture that hooks them in. It could be the other senses. So it's kind of nice to bring in lots of senses to see which is going to work best, or maybe a few are better than just one. And over time, your child will see what works best for him or her. You know,
For a parent who's listening now, who might not be totally comfortable coaching their child through this, mm-hmm. is there a way to back up a little bit and just begin by offering suggestions? First of all, I would say maybe stop saying, go out there and practice. Go out. If you want to do it, just go practice.
Right.
Just go practice. Maybe that's the way to begin. Because a typical parent would be, you want to be good at it? Well, then go first clean your room up and then go practice.
Right. Well, you might start with some positive thought, like, what's it going to be like when you reach your goal of being an excellent basketball player? What's that going to look like? How's that going to feel? And having kind of creating the future by first experiencing it, picturing it, noticing it. And I'll use this across lots of areas of concern, you know, not just sports, but it's a really nice way, because you're not forcing them. You're starting with where they're at and what they imagine. And then you could work on that. Like, gosh, what's it going to be like when, you know, you hit those goals in soccer next season? How are you going to feel? I had one mom who taught these imagery, imagination skills to her son's basketball team, and they won that year. They did great. They did great. I mean, this is going on every day in every sports team, upper-level sports team, forever. Now, the beginning part when I talked about fear and working with doubt and confidence, that sort of comes out of my work. But this this whole idea of watching yourself and imagining yourself doing well and what that feels like, athletes have been doing that for decades.
You know, I when I talk to people about taking risks and courage, I think about like a baseball player who gets up there and is in a slump and he strikes out and he's striking out and millions of people are watching him on TV, and if he would give up, he'd never be able to come back and hit the home runs and break the records.
Right.
So what do you think they're saying to themselves, Charlotte, when they get up there and they're having a slump or they're not hitting the ball? Do you think they're saying, oh, shit, I'm never going to? Or you think they're...
I don't know.
Or they're worrying what the millions of people are... See, that's what I would be doing. I'd probably be worrying what everybody's thinking about me. Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what they might, I don't know what they're thinking, but what might be helpful is to sort of put that aside in another folder in their computer and maybe say, wow, that's, you know, I missed that. That's one more ball closer to hitting a home run.
So it's about shifting into a more positive place. Shifting, and it almost sounds like, yeah, you can go back to imagining hitting the home run.
Yes, and just focus on what you need to do. Because when you're negative, you know what happens. You just, everything collapses. It affects your immune system. We know that stress depresses our immune system. People could contract diseases, chronic illness over time with stress and negativity. So we want to shift that around.
So, Sharla, I know this is maybe not directly related, but I think it's partly related. So if children now are feeling stress about end-of-year tests or making friends in summer camp, can parents use this similar technique to help their child not just with an athletic issue but with anything that they're dealing with?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know. I mean, it's a very sweet way of segueing into all the other areas that I address in The Power of Your Child's Imagination, because it's all about transforming stress and anxiety into joy and success. So especially at this time of year, about friendships coming up for the summer, who they're going to hang out with, going to a new summer camp, you know, going to sports camps. It's very critical, and tests and finals. Absolutely. I had one, there's so many stories that come to mind. I mean, one boy, he was a little bit older, maybe junior high school age, later junior high, or middle school as we call it now. He was very worried about the end of the year tests, and he imagined himself sitting in a library that had all information for all time, and he was at a desk that he kind of created like a metallic silver desk, and when he read his book, say for science or social studies, the information would kind of drift up into his brain so that it was almost effortless. As he was reading, the information was kind of floating into his brain and staying there. I'll have kids wash out their brain, and any negative thoughts or worries, they wash it out with whatever, white light, foam, whatever they want to use, Mr. Clean, and then their brain is ready to learn and to take in all the information. Or they might even call in a spelling wizard to help them on their spelling tests or to help them memorize certain facts. You know, and the wizard kind of whispers their answers in their ears and practices flashcards and math, or any of those imagination kind of games almost really help focus the kids, help them stay positive, build confidence, and have worked with so many of the kids I've been working with over the years.
So, again, you know, I just keep going back to this, Charlotte, because it's the way my brain functions. So if I'm a parent who, I'm not into all this stuff, Charlotte. You know? I'm just not into this wash your brain out. Yeah. What can a parent who maybe is saying, okay, shouldn't he just go in his bedroom and do some more studying instead of sitting at the computer? Yeah. Is there anything you can do to help a parent who maybe is holding on to that old fashioned, just go in there and study and you'll do
right. Okay. Well, you know, if that works, great, Sandy. If that works, great. But the problem these days is it doesn't always work. And that's why parents get really frustrated. Why doesn't he just go and study? I know that's all he needs to do. I had one girl that was a teenager that was having a hard time getting from her bed to her desk to study. So I just asked her, just focus, you know, get yourself a little calm by her deep breathing, her bloom breath, and ask for some help. What picture comes to mind that's going to help you? And she had created this kind of cloud that went over from her to her desk, and it was created magic rain that washed away her worries. And she was also able to move then from her bed to her desk because this cloud sort of covered the whole area, so it was connected. And washing away all her worries, this was a teenager. She came up with it. I didn't come up with it. As a parent, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be too creative. You just have the kids calm down, connect. The wisdom is inside. Ask for help, either through a wise person, you know, or an animal friend, depending on their age, and just see what they suggest. And all you have to do as a mom or a dad is say, okay, I trust you. I know you have your answers. I don't know what your answers are, for example, but I know you have them. I'm going to help you find them. And I tell that to kids all the time. So the first thing to do is to kind of center yourself. Okay, let's center a little. Let's get calm. Let's go inside. Let's take a few minutes to do some breathing. You know, I call it the balloon breath because it's an easy visual of having a balloon about 2 inches from below your belly button. When you breathe in, it blows up. When you breathe out, it flattens, and that calms you. That's the center of your body. Physiologically, it does all sorts of good things. And it's been used with adults for eons. I mean, it's kind of a meditation breath to begin with. And then Herbert Benson back in, I don't know, the 70s, called it the relaxation response. And everybody calls it different wording depending on what's popular. But the point is it helps you calm and center.
And it's something that I want to say parents might choose to use because, you know, when life gets a little crazy for us and we tend to be short with our children, it would be a wonderful thing to just do this cleansing breath or this balloon breath because it just kind of relaxes us. It's like magic.
Yes. It's like magic. It's like magic. I wrote a whole chapter on tools for parents, too, because they need them. We need them as parents. We need all the help we can get to make our lives easier and help our kids be more successful and happier. Why not? And all this stuff is kind of fun. It's quick. You know, it just is so helpful.
You know,
you
said... Yeah, go ahead. I just want to...
Go on.
You said something before which, you know, it just rolls off your tongue and it sounds so wonderful, but I just keep thinking about the parents listening, that you would say to your child, I trust you. I may not have all the answers, but I know you have all your answers. But a lot of parents don't really believe that. They don't trust their kids.
Right.
And they think they're the ones who have the answers and their kids should be listening to them. And that causes a lot of the issues. How does a parent learn to relax themselves to trust that the children, they can trust their kids and that their answers are inside their children when they watch their kids and they think their kids are just messing up?
Well, you might be thinking about teenagers. No help for them. No. But, I mean, you've been living with your kids. The kids have been living with you since they're born. So parents are the best role models. They learn from what you do. So whatever you've been doing, they've been learning about. I mean, you know, kids are our best teachers. I always tell parents that if you want to help your kids, take care of yourself first. So you're the example. Parents are the example. Your kids are watching all the time. And so if you can't trust them, what does that say about you? Are you saying you can't trust yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And also just letting the kids know that you trust them, that you believe in them. If you don't trust them, don't say it, of course. But there must be a part of you that believes in them and believes in their goodness and their good part. I have kids that can't say one nice or good thing that they like about themselves. So I'll start with like a little spark. Like, is there a little tiny spark somewhere in your heart of a nice feeling or a good feeling or a loving feeling? If I could find a little spark, then I have them breathe into it and make it larger and see how they get it.
Okay.
So all you need is a tiny spark, and then you could change their world. They could change their own world because they could see that they can increase those loving feelings or good feelings or positive feelings. And they need to know that you believe in them because if you don't believe in them, how are they going to believe in themselves? That's what you've been teaching them all these years. And so also, you know, you have an idea of where your kids want to go. We all have that idea. You could help guide them there. I mean, I had a little three-year-old. So when I was teaching him to check in with his heart and his gut feelings, his belly told him to share. He was in preschool. Now, of course, his mom or his dad or his teacher probably said that, but this time it was coming from him.
So he had taken it in and made it his own.
He had integrated it. And that's what you're going to find with your kids when you give them that space, that they're going to be coming back at you. The things they're saying and finding are often things that you've already told them. But now it's coming from them.
So it's the things that you've told them, and it's the things that you've modeled, and it's the things that they see that they integrate and becomes part of their belly wisdom, that's what you call it, or their heart wisdom.
Right.
And I think maybe we also need to trust that as human beings, there's this spirit inside them that with us or even without us, there's wisdom that they get in and they get in touch with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so whatever
your kids. You know, I have that top 10 of what kids need and want from their parents. And really, sometimes they just want you to listen and understand. They don't want you to fix it. As parents, we always want to fix things, and we might see a situation and can see what needs to be done. But what your child needs is just for you to listen and understand. And by that, they could transform how they're feeling. And also, after you listen for a long, long time, not like just 2 seconds and then put your own 2 cents in, then you could bring up, gosh, do you, you know, your friends are kind of offering you the beer and the drugs at the parties, and you've been resisting so far. How do you feel about that? I'm really proud. Well, what's your decision? What does your body and mind tell you is good for you? You could kind of help guide them, but not hit them over the head. Because a lot of the kids these days, besides the teenagers, I mean, we know that, you can't hit them over the head. Even the younger ones are now wanting to use the mind of their own, to use their own intelligence. So you could definitely
parents are complaining about that, Charla. I know they're complaining to me, you know, what's with these kids today? Kids used to listen. Kids used to listen. We did what our parents told us. What is wrong with our kids? So you're saying, in your words, they're coming in what?
Maybe a little
knowing.
Differently. It's also different. Our world is so different today, the information age and the computer age. It's so different than when the parents, you know, parents were younger. It's just changing so rapidly. So, and sometimes I just find that if a child comes in with a crazy idea, like, you know, I never want to do homework, homework is stupid, I really hate it. Okay, so I listen to him and I go, yeah, I wish there was no homework in the whole world. It's a real pain. So I empathize with him. And then I go, gosh, what should we do? I mean, there is still school and we get bad grades if we don't do homework. Should we do it anyway, you know? And sort of like move them slowly to the space you want to take them. But first really empathize and understand what they're going through. Then they'll be more willing to give up their point of view because they know you see it. You appreciate their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes...
And then would you be playful with them? Let's say, how would it look? How would it feel if you got your homework done and you had all the time in the world to do whatever you wanted? Or what?
Well,
how
I might
would
even
the imagery
say,
for that?
Who's your? Let's call in one of your helper guides. You know, who comes in? One animal comes in, or is it your wizard? Who shows up? I don't know who's going to show up today. Oh, it's the rabbit. Oh, is he scared? He's scared he's going to fail. You know, or the lion comes in. He says, "Don't worry, you can get this homework done in 5 minutes." So. You know, I set it up that way, so then I bypass their defense system. That's what's so wonderful and fun about the imagery and the imagination, is that you don't ask them directly, you don't tell them directly, you go through the side door rather than the front door. And then it softens them. Because the ideas, they're really coming from inside them, but
right.
When it's coming from their animal friend or their wizard, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, one girl who was having a hard time sleeping, she created this dragon that protected her, and so she was like 11, and someone said, well, didn't she know it was her imagination? It's just from her imagination, you know, what she's making up. How did that work? And what she told me is, my imagination created the fear. I had to go into the imagination realm to fix it.
So she was bright enough to understand that whole process. But that's important for parents to understand and why it works, because even if, say, their little one is afraid to go to sleep, and there are many little ones who are afraid to go
right,
to sleep
right.
because they're monsters or whatever. Well, it's that same imagination that created the monsters.
Exactly.
So the power of that very same imagination can create whoever's going to keep them safe.
Right.
So go for it. Play it along with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
rather than the intellectual. I guess that's my message to parents today, is this is why it works for the kids, because they are willing to go there, and we are so in our heads, well, some of us. And if we just use our thoughts and rational thinking to try to talk people out of things, it doesn't even work for us most of the time.
I know. I recently had a child, a boy with a very big problem, and he had been seeing me a little while and really enjoyed our imagination, you know, practice. And his parents wanted to take him to a very intellectual cognitive behavioral therapist. And he went for a little while, but he couldn't stand it. He begged his parents to come back to me.
Oh, and did they listen?
Yeah.
They did bring him back. Oh, good. Yeah. That makes me feel they listened to him.
Because I'm more of a heart therapist. I want to come through the heart. I mean, intellect is great. I really respect it. appreciate it, but I want to combine it from the wisdom of the heart and the intuition, the gut feelings. And then you get a really full response.
Okay, so I know I took you way off the athletes and, you know, into another area, but to me it's all kind of related, Charlotte.
It's all connected. It really
is. It? Yes. It
yeah,
feels
totally.
To me it feels like it's all connected. And
because then you could pique our parents' attention by saying, oh, I could do this here or there, or my child doesn't play sports, but she plays the piano, or, you know, she's not getting along with her brother or her sister, or like I have.
Oh, could we stop for a minute with that? Because that's something that... that parents, I mean, homework, messy rooms, and fighting with a sibling. To me, if, you know, if we could help parents visualize something with that, boy, that would be great. In fact, I'm thinking if parents could use these techniques for that, how powerful that would be.
Oh, you know, for sure. I mean,
right? Imagine if parents had a wizard or an animal that they could imagine would calm them and calm their children, and their house would be more peaceful. I think we'd have a lot of buy-in from parents.
Yeah, I mean, I do write a chapter especially for parents, and at the end of it, there's the Cave of Great Wisdom, so parents could, one, feel appreciated and also get in touch with their own wisdom and remember that they have that. And so they could read the script, or I even created a CD for them, because I want to take care of the parents, too. They're critical, critical for those kids.
Yeah. So could we just go to a child who maybe the sibling is teasing them or annoying them?
Oh,
whatever.
Totally, all the time. I mean, it's really funny. Whenever I ask kids if they have siblings, they'd like to get rid of them. If they don't have a sibling, they wish they did. I mean, and it's actually the kids that have siblings, they, in kindergarten, first grade, they socialize better because they've had the experience. They've already gone through the sharing and fighting, and, you know, they've made it through by age 5 or 6, and they've learned a few things along the way. But I had one girl who just, her brother was driving her nuts, so she created a magic eraser that erased her bad thoughts about her brother, like wanting to choke him or, you know. And she would use that eraser, that magic eraser, to, you know, wipe away her reactions to her brother or erase the things that he would say to her that would annoy her.
Wow.
Or another, this is two sisters. She had, like, crazy, couldn't stand her younger sister, bugging her all the time, as little younger siblings are wont to do, because they want to be with the older sibling and they want to play with them and mess with their stuff. So she had a little bird come to her and whisper, you know, in her ear and say, okay, you feel like punching her, run the other way, punch her pillow so you don't get in trouble. You know, to even just calm herself down. Or another boy had a ladybug that kind of told him, crawled on his arm and said, tell your brother, tell him that you're going to try to get along with him, and would he try to get along too?
So again, it sounds like these are just lovely, lovely, I want to say childlike, but I keep stopping myself because grown-ups could use this too. But
it's
allowing this lovely world that we can create. It doesn't have to be pound us over the head. When you were talking about the magic eraser to wipe away annoying thoughts, I was thinking, how many grown-ups who live together, there's something that the person you live with does that annoys you.
Exactly.
And even though you're right, yes, it's annoying, yes, but where does it get you? It just gets you angry and angry. Imagine if you had, we all would have this lovely magic eraser that we could just erase the thoughts and allow us to love each other again.
Yes.
It
doesn't
mean the thought's not legitimate.
Right.
It just means it's not serving us well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what a world this would be if all of us had a, I'm going to try that, Charlotte. I'm going to have
own
sparkly magic eraser.
And whenever I do trainings and workshops, I'm working with adults, so I'm taking them through all these exercises. In fact, coming up in October, I'm going to do a big workshop at the Mindful Awareness Center at UCLA. And Crayola, they were so excited, because I use Crayola products all the time, and I use, you know, all this drawing and writing, that they donated crayons for all the participants to be using at the workshop. I thought that was so kind of them. They just thought if we could activate the parents, the adults, the therapists, the whoever, the doctors, the
teachers,
great.
In the classrooms. Oh my goodness!
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I want to get everyone working on this. And I also want to mention, you know, about you mentioned about being right. You could be right. I'll often ask the kids or the parents too, would you rather be right or would you rather get along? Sometimes you might want to be right. Sometimes you might want to get along.
Can you have both? I want both, Charlotte.
You can have both as long as the other person agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they don't. So we want to develop some compassion and empathy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and isn't that a human lesson? When you feel that you're right and you believe that you're right and you want to be right, but you realize how not good it feels to not have a relationship that feels good, to invoke that magic eraser that
mm-hmm.
says, yes, you were right, but right now let's wipe away that thought because you'll feel so much better.
And even when you get angry at the person you live with or the kids you live with, if you can do that balloon breath, that quiet breathing, it will center you, and you could sort of sometimes melt away that anger. I mean, I'll tell parents, you know, go put water on your face, take a shower, just give yourself a timeout. But also, before you're talking to your spouse or your partner, it really helps to get centered and do that breathing and connect to yourself and then come from more of a heart place rather than a head place. So when you're talking to your child, when you're talking to your spouse, come from the heart and see the difference that makes in your language and your demeanor and the connection you have.
So, Charlotte, we have about 12 minutes left. What I would love to do is me get quiet and to give you an opportunity to say what you want to say to the parents. And if you could at all pick up from whatever they notice is happening with their child, whether their child is dealing with the pressure of the end of school or moving off into camp, or they're going to be dealing with athletics because they're in different athletic programs for the summer, or making new friends, whatever it is that they're aware that their child may be dealing with. And if they have more than one child, each one could be dealing with different things. How does a parent, what would you suggest the parent do to shift maybe energy in the house or just shift the way things are being dealt with in the house to help everybody use this imagery or imagination or just this fun way of bringing in wizards and magic animals? What would you, just go for it. What would you suggest now to the parents?
I think now is a great time to talk to your family and to speak about how the school year is ending and summer's coming up, and talk about how you'd like things to be. And have like one of those family meetings or family talks where everyone shares. How would you like it to be? What's the best that you can imagine? What would you like a family to look like? What would you like your life to look like this summer? And focus on the positive. And then see, how can we help? How can we help each other achieve what we want? And the whole idea is, gosh, maybe we've been fighting out lately, and how's that been feeling? Not so good. How would you like things to be more harmonious and us getting along and being happy with each other? When you ask a question like that, most kids and most people will say, sure, love that. Okay, great. Then let's make a plan for how we could create that, how we could support each other in that. And also make a plan for when we're not feeling so good, when we're a little anxious or angry or someone bugged us, what we could do with that. Do we want to create like a trash, you know, like we were talking about the computer trash and dump it in there? Do we want to find a place to put it or talk about it? I do a lot of writing and drawing with the kids and parents. I'll have them draw out their feelings over the summer if I don't see them for a while. I'll have them create a feelings journal. And depending on if they're young or old, they could draw or write. And get one of those big plain books that, you know, no lines on it. And just that might be a place to go to every day. Because one of the things we know that by expressing ourselves, that shifts how we're feeling. So maybe they start the day or they end the day or in the middle of the day, they go and they just write anything that's bothering them. And they could write for 5 minutes, they could write for 20 minutes, whatever wants to come out. Or they could draw. There's a beautiful exercise with drawing. And on the top of the page, you write, this is a visual representation of my love for. And it could be myself, my mom, my dad. And you do that for 21 days straight. And over that time, things will transform. and pay attention to the dreams. You might, at breakfast, you might start talking about who remembers their dreams last night. Because dreams, like the waking dreams we have with our imagination, are very powerful. And they might be stories. They might be, they're stories that are trying to tell us like a fable. There's a lesson. And we could figure out, like detectives, you know, what does it mean? What does it remind us of? And start helping your child develop those inner skills that will serve them throughout their whole life. And then you just backtrack. You know, we had a great, how did we do today? Everyone got along great. I'll even do, this is kind of fun, I'll have parents start a marble jar, and you could put shells or pasta or whatever. And the idea is, if you're working on having a more harmonious household, then everybody gets little marbles or whatever whenever you catch them being neutral or nice to each other or cooperative. And the idea is, as the jar grows up, gets higher, they earn different rewards as a family. Like the top in, you know, we live in L.A., so the very top might be going to Disneyland. It might take a month. But you might create something over the summer that's fun. It might be going to the pier or choosing a movie or having a special meal together. And it's everyone being cooperative together. And you want to catch everyone being nice. And that's kind of a concrete way. Sometimes the younger kids really like that. And to focus,
and the
on
kids topics. Catch the parents being nice, and they
yes,
catch.
Yes, exactly.
So it's good for everybody to catch somebody being nice.
Being nice. You see how
right.
You're focusing on the positive, so you're going to get more of that. Because we do know in behavioral science, when what you focus on is what you get more of. I mean, there were college students that got their professor to go from one side of the room totally to the other by smiling every time he sort of moved toward one end. And have fun and enjoy it. And maybe be a little more flexible in the summer. You know, you have that opportunity. Just have fun together. But you have your family meetings, whether it's every other day or once a month or checking in once a week, and just seeing, how are we doing? What do we have to tweak? Are we on track? You know, are we off track? What do we have to do to bring our family back together? Sending love to each other. You know, sometimes kids, when dads or moms have to travel, the kids really miss them. I have them send love, like on a beam from their heart to the parent's heart, and feel connected, and the parent sends love back to them. And they feel that connection. So kids that are going to summer camp might need a little extra support. You might write little notes in their suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
Or little notes if a parent has to travel. Anything you could think of, you put your imaginations together and be creative in creating what you want for your family. Set your intention and then take the steps to get there.
If you have little kids, like if your kids are 2 and 3 and 4 and they're in a very imaginative stage of life, is there something parents can do to encourage that and to use it? When they're very young.
Totally play with them. Totally get into that. I mean, I've had kids. I never thought I saw a kid as young as 3, and as long as they have some language and their imagination is coming out, they might know what a rainbow is. So we breathe in a rainbow of love, and it fills them up with love. And how does that feel? That's a great feeling. You know, they have their anger. Where is it? Oh, you got black anger. All right, let's breathe it out through your toes. Let's breathe in that rainbow of love. Simple.
And children understand that.
Yes, you want to, whatever your age is, that's the beauty of these kind of these imagination tools, is they go across ages. You just change the language to suit what age you're working with. And as a parent or as a therapist or educator, you know how to talk to the age of child you're working with. It comes naturally.
So, again, the idea is to use their imagination and to visualize things because it works. It works as well as or best in conjunction with giving language to what's going on.
Yes. You're teaching them a feeling language also.
I would almost challenge the parents who are listening to do an experiment, kind of like that basketball story you told about way back in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
where for 3 weeks they visualize themselves shooting hoops and getting it in the basket.
Right.
I would challenge the parents to imagine their children behaving in any way that feels really wonderful for them. Just keep imagining their child doing it or behaving that way. Just keep imagining it and see if there's a shift.
Yes, and use that balloon breath. I'll have kids put up dots, different color dot, put it on a spot on their wall or, you know, for moms on their phones or whatever. And whenever you see that dot, you do 3 balloon breaths. So you want to practice that centering breath so that you respond rather than react to situations.
So are you saying you put a dot up somewhere in the house and when you...
Yeah, I give them like a strip of different colors.
I could just see chicken pox all over the house. You got dots,
just one dot.
Colors all over.
Just one dot. And the idea is when you don't notice it anymore, you habituate, you just change the color dot. So one boy said he wanted to put it on his door going to his room. So whenever he came into his room or whenever he left his room, he would see the dot and remind himself to calm himself down. And parents could do that too. Put it on their rear view mirror when the kids are wrecking havoc in the back seat so that they do some deep breathing.
Before they start yelling.
Before they start yelling, exactly. Mm-hmm. And pull over.
Charlotte, if people wanted to get in touch with you, if they were lucky enough to live in the L.A. area, or...
I talk to them all over the world on the phone.
Oh, good.
Or
so you'll help them over the phone or you'll Skype
them.
Yeah,
we could always Skype. Or I'll come and do a workshop. Or
that
come to
wonderful.
My website. I invite you to my website, which is www.imagery4kids.com, and that's F-O-R. And, yes, they'll be able to... If they want to order the book, they'll be able to have access to like 80 downloadable free gifts. They'll have access to all the CDs that accompany the book and are separate that are so comforting. One girl listened for 4 years every single night while her parents were divorced. And lots of articles, my Psychology Today blog, and lots of ideas for lectures and workshops and emailing me and telling me how they're doing.
I love it, Charlotte. You know what I love? I love that you're able to help parents and grandparents and educators understand that the way to get inside your children, the way to really connect with them and to really reach them, is not just about blah blah. They turn us off, and they don't. They resent that we have all the answers for them. The whole concept that they have answers that live inside themselves, and that parents can have fun and be joyful as they help their children bring forth their own wisdom is such a beautiful gift. So that I hope people pick up on this, and I hope the adults listening allow themselves to give themselves the same gift. I love it. And I've used imagery myself, and there are times I almost fight against it because it almost feels too fun. It almost feels too easy. It almost feels like I should be getting up and doing something, you know, active that's much more important. And listening to you today has reminded me of the power of imagery and the power of our imagination, and that sometimes the best work I do is lying in bed in the morning or sitting by the couch and just imagining. There's real power in that. So I want to thank you, Charlotte Resnick, so much for being our guest today. It's been an absolute delight, and I encourage everybody to follow through. And this book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, it's not just your child's imagination. It's your imagination, too. We are all children who just grew up into bigger bodies, and our imagination is just waiting for us to welcome it back into our lives, too. It's been
a
pleasure, Charlotte.
Delightful.
I want to let everybody know that next week's guest is a lady named Susie Walton. Susie lives in San Diego. She was voted the Parent Educator of the Year last year in San Diego. She has created a place called Indigo Village in Encinitas, California, and it is a place that also supports parents in many different areas that are challenging, as well as parents understanding themselves and their relationships. And her newest book is called Key to Personal Freedom, How the Myths Affect Our Family Life. Because what she says is that we grew up with our belief systems about children and families. And if we could see that we can change the things that don't work for us, even though we grew up with them, they don't always work for us. We could be happier physically and emotionally. We could be healthier too. And part of that is that imagination is not for little kids. And that creating these imageries in our minds is ridiculous and wasteful. Just get out there and work hard and keep your room clean and be responsible. Oh, we can change that. Those were Those were belief systems we grew up with, but we can change those belief systems, and then we can grow into the parents we really want to be and start enjoying life on a level that's just giggly and delightful. And, oh, the time spent with our children, it makes it even better. So I wish for you all now a giggly week, a week with lots of fun. Enjoy those kids. Let your imagination soar. This is Sandy at Leading Edge Parenting saying, have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you would like more information on Leading Edge Parenting, go to www.lawofattracttalkradio.com.